The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. Ah, yeah. We'll miss Angus McAnally around the radio building. He's a very tall man and a lovely presence. And he always has something nice to say. And you've probably heard me talk before about the urinal chats. They're the best chats you have in the radio centre. And I've had many of the chat at the urinal with Angus McAnally. And he's a great man for having heard something on the show and coming up and telling you if he liked it or didn't like it. Always gave constructive criticism. Very good with that. And as you heard, multi-talented. What can that man not do? And I don't know if they mentioned this because I was in and out listening to Joe and Angus, but he was also a DJ, as in a mobile DJ. Back in the day, in the mid-80s or thereabouts, there was a place in Kildare called Hearts Nightclub. It was part of the Derby House Hotel. If you were posh, you called it the Derby House Hotel. If you weren't, you called it the Derby House Hotel. Anyway, I used to be the resident DJ in Hearts Nightclub. And every so often, to sort of bump the attendances, they'd invite somebody down from RTE in Dublin. You know, a celebrity DJ. They weren't called superstar DJs back then. They were called celebrity DJs. So you'd have people like Marty Whelan come down. Pat Kenny came down at one stage. And then we were told that Angus McAnally from Anything Goes was coming down as a celebrity DJ. Everyone was very excited. The poster was up with his multicoloured outfit. So the night came. I think it was a Thursday night. Must have been part of a festival or something. And Angus arrived and I went out. I said, how are you, Ray Darcy? I'm the resident DJ here. Is there anything in particular you want me to say or do before you come on? He said, I'll tell you what, this is the way it's going to go. You play Rod Stewart, Baby Jane, and I'll come in from the entrance and run up through the audience, up into the stage. It'll be a huge, big entrance. Now, the geography of the room was that it was a square. In one corner was the stage, and then diagonally across was the entrance. So Angus had looked at it and decided that he was going to make this huge entrance to Baby Jane. So I was there, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from RTE and Anything Goes. Please welcome Angus McAnally. And you can see him, can't you? You can see him running through the crowd. One yellow shoe, one red shoe. And they loved it. They went wild from wild. Angus, we love you. We love you. And I remember he was brilliant that night and he brought his guitar and he played guitar and he had an air guitar competition and just all-round entertainer and all-round good guy. And we'll miss him, as I say. So good luck in your retirement, Angus McAnally. I'm sure he'll be back in and around and we'll see him. But we have to wish him good luck. How are you on this Friday afternoon? We're all good in here. Thanks for asking. Eamon Dunphy, we put in a call to Eamon Dunphy. We're going to be talking to him later on. Loads more stuff as well. I was down in Abbey Leaks last evening and night. It was a terrible evening. I was driving down, I was listening to the weather forecast after 6 o'clock news and was saying that there was rain coming in from the east, which is unusual, I think. And then it just followed me the whole way down because I was ringing Emma Fogarty, who I was going down to, and I was saying, is it raining down there yet in Abbey Leaks? She said, no, it's not raining at all. And I said, well, whoa, it's coming your way and it's coming heavy. So it was as if a cloud followed me the whole way down to Abbey Leaks, because just as I arrived down to meet them in the hotel car park, the heavens opened. We had planned to go for a walk with Emma as part of her Emma's 36 challenge to raise funds for Deborah Ireland, but we had to cancel that. Instead, we went back to her house and I got to chat to her a moment. You'll be able to hear that later on the show. But it was mad. And then I came home and I was talking to Jenny. She says, that was the maddest weather forecast she'd ever heard, she said. Because seemingly there was a weather front or a weather system going across in the east, which was bringing that rain down to Abbey Leaks and further afield. And then it went out into the Atlantic and seemingly another weather system took over and came back across the country with more rain. And then there was another weather system, I think, from the northeast came down the country. So we're getting it every which way, every which way. So for those of you over the last few weeks were saying, we could do with a bit of rain. Thanks. Thank you very much. Because we've got it in bucket loads. The great thing is, though, all that yellow grass, which is quite unsightly, is now green. And everything is lush and lovely. So we've enough rain now. Move on, clouds and rain. We want some summer. Thank you very much. And of course, the All-Ireland quiz today. My home county, Kildare, take on Fermanagh. That's after 4 o'clock. And we'll be telling you more about our next Wednesday show. We're giving over the full show. We're giving you an opportunity to say thank you to the frontline workers who've gotten us through the pandemic and the lockdown. And I know it's not completely over yet, but as in front of the 29th of June, it will seem that a lot of people are back to normal. So on Wednesday, the whole show, and we're hoping to get a representative from every county on a Zoom call, and we'll go through them all and they'd all say thank you. And if you want to be your county's representative to say thank you to frontline workers and somebody in particular that might have got you through it, somebody who delivered groceries, somebody who cared for a loved one, it could be a local guard, a local community guard, it could be a local member of the GAA, or whoever. We do want to hear from you. We do want to hear from you. We reckon it hasn't been done before. All 32 counties represented on the Zoom call. Maybe it has. Ireland says thank you at rte.ie. Ireland says thank you at rte.ie. We'd love to hear from you. And all it involves really is you sitting in front of your tablet or your phone or your laptop at the kitchen table. And I'll come to you and I go, "How are you, Mary? Where are you?" And you'll go, "I'm in Ballincollig in Corcray," or "I'm in Oughterard in County Galway," or "I'm in Guidore in County Donegal," or you might be up in Cushendall in the Antrim coastline, wherever you are. And then you say your little story, and then you say, "Just on behalf of my county, I want to say thanks to the frontline workers." That's the way it's going to work. Ireland says thank you. Ireland says thank you at rte.ie. We'd love to hear from you. And I'll be reminding you about that throughout the show today. Now, very busy overnight on the emails and the texts. They're talking about Angus there already. "Best of luck to Angus in retirement. My husband John worked with him on Evening Extra and I met him then. They all got on so well." That's Marguerite. Evening Extra ran from 1986 to 1988 and the presenters were Angus McAnally, B.B. Baskin, Siobhan Cleary and Shea Healy, all the greats. And I remember listening to Angus doing an evening radio show long ago. He played a movie theme at the end and said that was for my dad who died today. Ah, there's a poignant memory. Of course, yeah, it was probably from The Mission, I'd say, because his dad starred in The Mission, didn't he, Ray McAnally? I had to pull over for the tears. My own dad had died only weeks before, still remember it. "Did you bring the Big Mac sauce down to Emma?" I didn't, I forgot. Sorry about that. Shout out to Sister Sandra Power from Mogan Acool in Rathdrum. Celebrates her birthday. Her age cannot be disclosed, Ray, but she also celebrates her 49th wedding anniversary along with her husband, Bert, on the longest day of the year, which is Sunday. Is it not Saturday? What date is today? The 19th. Yeah, so there's a bit of confusion there. I looked it up. The summer solstice is the 20th, and I always thought that was the longest day of the year. Anyway, doesn't matter. Sandra, you're celebrating your birthday and your wedding anniversary, and Virginia and John and all the families say happy birthday and happy anniversary to you. Mary Walsh has been on to us from Cork. She says, "I know for you this lockdown has been primarily about sourdough." Well, I think a bit more than that. But yeah, that was one of the things early on. "But I thought I'd share the following with you. My mum was 80 in April, a big birthday. But in lockdown, she'd been cocooning since March. Undaunted and undeterred, she turned to knitting. To date, my mum has knitted 3 Aran cardigans. The first cardigan was for my sister, who was based in Sydney, in Australia. The second for my brother in Limerick. And the third, she just finished tonight. And it's for my sister in London. My mum's fingers are now hanging off her and her right shoulder is crocked. But I know if you asked her, she would say that despite the present pains and aches caused by the knitting, that it has really helped her through the lockdown." It's sort of that productive mindfulness, isn't it, knitting? It's one of those activities that you have to be completely in the moment for. "My sisters in Australia and London were all booked to travel home for my mum's 80th and obviously never came to pass. But in their respective countries now, they can strut their stuff proudly as they walk about in their homemade Irish cardigans. Yay! Could you give a big shout out to my mum? Her name is Rita Walsh, and let her know that we are very grateful for all she does and all the knitting and all the mammying over the years." And that's from Mary Walsh. Happy birthday, Rita. Enjoy your 80th and well done on the cardigans. "Bells on bikes got you exercise during the week and still talking about them. I'm afraid bells on bikes are not the answer, given how bargy and actually aggressive some cyclists are. They would blast you with the bell and then expect you to jump out of the way. Not for the faint-hearted or the less agile," says Claire. And Breed has been on from Canada. She says, in Canada, in many areas, they have a policy for bikes of bell or yell. Aha. We have wonderful parks kept very well, but at present the tarred pedestrian footpaths are home to bikes and trikes, scooters and skaters, all together with wheelchairs and walkers and buggies and babies. It doesn't work safely, says Breda in Canada. You have no chance if a racing bike comes up behind you at high speed on the village footpath or in the park. But also, to be fair, if you're wearing earphones while walking, you haven't got a leg to stand on. I understand in Australia it's an offence to cross roads with earphones in. Didn't know that. It's important to put workable plans in place for all users to be catered for, especially with new government policies of spending lots of money on getting people to walk and cycle for work and health, says Breda. Well, that's one of the good things when they write the history of the pandemic. And a lot of cycle lanes are going to come out of the pandemic, which is only good news. I was reading yesterday they're building one between Black Rock and Sea Point out outside Dublin. And this is the mad thing, and I know it probably doesn't affect you because you're never going to use it, but the mad thing is that they've been planning it for 20 years. 20 years they've been planning for that and looking for it, and now they're going to do it in a few weeks because of the pandemic. Francie has been on Glad Midsummer. I hope I did that justice. Francie probably didn't. Today is one of the biggest days of the year in Sweden and Scandinavia, on par with Christmas Eve. It's always celebrated on the Friday closest to the 21st of June. My wife Mona is Swedish, so today we will have the traditional midsummer food. Absolutely wonderful. Normally when in Dublin we would have a full house for today, but unfortunately this year we'll just be ourselves. There are many Swedish-Irish living on the island. Please wish them all happy midsummer. So many will be celebrating today. I'd like to wish you all happy midsummer. Safe and well. And Francie sent us over a picture of the cake. I don't know if that's a traditional midsummer cake, but it looks wonderful. It's a sponge covered in fresh cream, dotted with fresh strawberries. Yummity, yummity, yummity. It is odd, isn't it? And I suppose a lot of people have remarked this, that here we are coming into the longest day of the year and a lot of us haven't been away. We haven't been away for a weekend. We haven't been to the sea. We haven't been wherever we would normally go by this time of the year. And I won't mention the fact that if it is the longest day of the year, you know what that means. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not a fan of the phrase the new normal, says somebody. What would be normal about hugely reduced capacity in public transport? No concerts, no theatre, queuing for basic shopping. Yeah. I heard somebody on from the music industry this morning and they were saying that they didn't see anything happening until, you know, 2022. That's what they were saying. Please give a big shout out to all the frontline workers in bank branches all over the country who work hard every day during the current crisis. Banks may not be popular, but the workers do everything they can to assist people every day, says Rosie. And because the solstice relates to the sun's position over the earth, the exact date can't be nailed down. Aha. All that is known for sure is that it's between the 20th and the 22nd of June. That's Alan and Louth, who sounds like he knows what he's talking about. So it's between the 20th and 22nd, which starts tomorrow and ends on Monday, doesn't it? Okay, 51551, ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. Whitney Houston! I want to dance with somebody. Now, tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, Best of Inspirations concert from Barrettstown is on Facebook Live. Now, over the years, from 2009 to 2013, every year in the Olympia Theatre, there was a live concert thingamajig. Remember those? People jammed in and sang along and danced with no social distancing. And it was all in aid of Barrettstown camp down in County Kildare. And over the years, I was lucky enough and privileged enough to MC it. And I witnessed some great performances by Sinead O'Connor, Glenn Hansard, The Stunning, Republica Loose, Something Happens, The Four of Us, Emotional Fish, all of them. Anyway, what they've done is, because they filmed them, they've put together the best of the performances from over the years, and they're playing it out tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock on Facebook. So if you go to Facebook Live and Events, you'll find it put in Barrettstown. You know how to do this sort of thing. And at the end of it, there's a sort of a hidden track, if you like, a bonus track. So early on in lockdown, when the sourdough was proofing or whatever it was doing, I went into the room and I put together a 5-minute disco. So 7 songs in 5 minutes. And they've tagged that on to the end. So tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock, you could be dancing around the kitchen or the sitting room or wherever you are to a number of songs, and I'll be DJing in your house, just like the old days in Hearts nightclub. And that is one of the songs, Whitney Houston, "I Want to Dance with Somebody." So well done to everybody at Barrettstown for that. Now, I'm a city cyclist and agree that bells are essential. Pedestrians who look and listen would help also, says Aileen in Cabra. And I was in a passive park in Canada once, says Keith. The entrance had a sign saying no cycling, no running or playing loud music. Walking and yoga were the only activities allowed. Your Canadian listener just reminded me of that, says Keith. And I have two brothers in hospital who were both very ill. So I would like to thank all the staff in Talla Hospital and St. James's Hospital in Dublin. And that's Jimmy. Thanks for that, Jimmy. And I've just tuned in and heard about the lady who knitted jumpers for her family. Well, cardigans, actually. I knitted a cardigan for my little granddaughter, Miriam, who lives with her mum and dad in Tasmania. When I tried to post it in April, I was told there's no parcel post going to Australia. I tried again last week and there's no change. I wonder if your listener has posted the jumper yet. And if she did, how did she? Ask Suna. So Mary Walsh, let us know how Rita Walsh, your mum, got the cardigan to your sister in Sydney, if you don't mind. And we can pass on the information to Una. 5 on 5 on RTE.ie.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That's very exciting, isn't it? Next Friday on the telly, Comic Relief, raising funds for frontline workers and other charities. I think it's from 7 o'clock till 11:30, till very late. And Zig and Zag and Dustin and I, yeah, the old Den band are back together. And we had another Zoom call this morning, Zig and Zag and Dustin and I. It was very exciting. I think Dustin has some sort of Perspex business or something like that. Anyway, now, 2 weeks ago, we spoke to Emma Fogarty. Emma suffers with EB and she has decided to do a challenge to sort of be pushed to move through 36 kilometres in the lead up to her 36th birthday, which is next year. Next week. We spoke to her about it and we spoke to Colin Farrell, and she has a Just Giving page. And at the time, she set a target of €36,000, and very kindly, people from all over the country, after hearing you on the show, donated, and she got the 36,000, and now it's up to 48. And Emma's decided that she's going to go for 72. Hello, Emma.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
You're going to go for 72,000.
I am. I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah. What day next week is your birthday?
Next Thursday.
Okay. Now, yeah. How many kilometres have you done so far?
I've done 26 kilometres out of the 36.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you've great supporters, obviously Colin Farrell, and Johnny Sexton is another friend and supporter of yours.
Yeah.
And he's on the line. How are you doing, Johnny?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Thanks for taking the call. Say hello to Emma there.
Hi, Johnny.
And you did a video in support, Johnny, and you were just... Can you remember what you said about this challenge that Emma's going through?
Yeah, I was just obviously lending my support and trying to get Emma, to raise the funds that she set a target for. And, it was just along those lines. You know, I'm a big supporter of Deborah and a big supporter of Emma. She was the first person I met with the disease probably, close to 12 years ago now, I would say, if not longer. And I suppose over the years we've just stayed in touch and we've become friends. And, we I do as much as I can for them. And, I'm trying to get a bit of support for this as well.
Okay. And you've been a great supporter over the years. Now, in the last night, I was supposed to go down and walk with you, Emma.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen because that weather system coming in from the east scuppered any notion of walking.
Totally, yeah. It was a total washout.
Total washout. So we returned to your house, which is up the road and up the hill.
Yeah.
Tell them what happened next.
We came into the house and we sat down and you interviewed my mum.
Yes, and she didn't know I was going to interview her?
No, I did. You had told me and I had decided against telling her because I knew that she would never sleep for a whole week if she knew.
Right, yeah, and probably wouldn't have agreed to it either.
No, so, probably not.
So it was a little bit of an ambush.
It was, a little bit, bit, but she was fine about it.
Yeah, and so... She sat down in her favourite armchair or sofa and I sat down in front of her and we had a chat. And the first thing I did was thanked her for having me in her lovely house down in Abbey Leagues.
Right, Pat, thanks so much for having me in your house. How long are you in the house?
37 years. Yeah, so.
So if Emma is 36 next year,
mm-hmm.
you arrived and then very short after.
Very shortly afterwards, Emma arrived, yeah.
Yeah.
Very quickly, yeah. We were married in August and the following June she was born.
Mm.
So it was very quickly.
So, like, yourself and Malachy, newlyweds, he's in a new job, new house, all very exciting, first child.
Yes, it was very exciting. We were really looking forward to having our first child, and we had no inclination whatsoever anything was wrong. All the right throughout the pregnancy, it went perfectly, so we had no idea until she arrived. And when she arrived, they said that there was no skin on her hands or legs, so we had no idea what was wrong. And the doctors, she was born in Kilkenny, and they had no idea either what was wrong. So she was immediately brought to Crumlin and biopsies were done, and it came back that she had epidermolysis bullosa. We had never heard of it before in our lives, and it was a bit of a shock to the system. And she was in hospital from 25th of June till sometime in the middle of August, maybe, before we brought her home. And she was a lovely, happy little baby, but unfortunately her skin was very sore, so she suffered, but we knew nothing about the illness, so, it was very hard for us. We were only learning as we went along.
Yeah.
We didn't have the association that's there now, Deborah Ireland, so we had nobody to fall back on or ask any questions or help us in any way.
And, of course, there was no great internet
around
either.
No, sure, so we didn't have
internet. You couldn't Google it.
No Googling, I'm afraid.
So all your information was coming from the doctors, was it?
Just from the doctors, yeah. And it's such a rare illness that they didn't know much about it either. So we were all in the same situation, really in the dark, not knowing.
And can you remember that first time you heard the words, EB, and the description? And and what did they say to you about Emma's future?
Well, that first week when she was born, we were told that she would die within the week, and we would be better off if she did, because it was such a severe illness that it would be a very hard, tough life for her. And we know now what he was talking about, because it has been very long and very tough on Emma, and it's been a fight all the way.
Mm.
All the way.
And it's a condition that there's no respite from.
No, that's my biggest disappointment with this illness. There's no such thing as remission. It's the same thing every day. Pain, pain and more pain.
And as a parent, you would love to be able to swap places.
Yes, I often say that. If I could just take even some of it, if I could just take some of the load off of her that is on her, because nobody only knows except myself and herself what she's going through, really. Nobody really understands. And you might see the bandages and say, oh yeah, she's a skin illness, but really nobody knows and nobody sees what's going on except herself and myself. And that's hard to even explain to people how serious and how it's heartbreaking to see her suffer and wanting more painkillers, but I can't give her any more than I'm allowed. Much as I'd love to help her, I can't.
Mm.
That's hard.
And a huge burden on you.
Yes, it's a worry and stress. It's very stressful that I can't help her. I'd love to be just her mother, but I'm more than her mother. I'm her nurse. And I'm her friend, I'm her mother, I'm her nurse, I'm her carer, I'm everything. But I just want to be her mother.
Mm. And what about the days that you feel that you can't go on with this and you have to, as a mother, put the positive side forward? I know this is tough for both of you now, but...
Yeah, I do come... I have days that are tough and that I feel, God, will it ever end? Will she ever get any relief from this? But I don't think there's no cure coming down the line anyway, that's for sure. But even if we could just find something that would stop the blisters coming, if we could just get something that would stop it in its tracks, but it's just never ending. And you're delighted then, and you feel, oh, that wound has come on great, it really has improved, and you're saying, oh my God, isn't that wonderful? And next thing, there's another blister.
Yeah.
And we're back to square one.
And that leads to a wound.
Back to the wound again, the very same wound in the very same spot. And you think you have it solved and it's gone, but it's never gone.
Mm.
It's only taking a rest for a week or so and it's back.
Of course, with that, you have this amazing girl who became a young woman, who now is a woman, 36 next week, who has probably inspired you beyond belief.
Yeah. We're so proud of her. She, myself and Malachy and Catherine, we couldn't be prouder of her. She has fought the good fight. She has been down and she's bounced back. She's had surgery, major surgery last November, and we thought, this is it. She'll never come back from this. But back she's here. And she's fighting fit and ready to go again.
Yeah. And because that was, and Emma described it to us on the radio when she was on with Colin there a couple of weeks ago, the amputation. And she knew that that was probably coming, the cancer was coming. She remember she told me that oncologists were like vultures circling
yes.
around her.
Mm.
And you probably knew, did you, in your heart of hearts?
I knew it was coming, but I didn't. I knew cancer was hanging around somewhere. I knew we were going to see cancer again. But I never thought of an amputation.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that they'd be able to cut it out and that she would get back to her. When the doctor said to me amputation, I was just absolutely floored. It was the last thing on my mind. I never thought we'd come to this.
Mm.
You know, it was so tough. I'll never forget those words. I'll never forget them because I wasn't expecting it, and I knew the wound was really bad, but I still thought that they'd be able to just cut around it and cut the badness out of it. But it was gone too far this time.
But here we are, less than a year later,
yeah.
and Emma is transporting herself in one way, shape or form to 36 kilometres before her 36th birthday in an attempt to raise money for Deborah Ireland.
Well, I was against it straight away when she suggested she was going to do this. Being a mother, I said, no, you're not able for it. You're just stop. You can't do it. You're not able for it. But Emma doesn't listen to me saying no or stop or you can't do it. Those words are not part of her vocabulary. They might be mine, but she won't listen to no. If someone says you can't do it, it's the very time she'll turn around and do it. So she wants to prove everyone wrong. And she's proved everyone wrong from the very first day that they said she wouldn't last the week to the very first time they told us she'd never walk. And she did walk. Now, obviously, she's in a wheelchair now, but she did walk for 20-something years. And so she loves to prove people wrong.
Yeah, but she's obviously drawn a lot of her energy and personality from yourself and Malachy.
Yeah, she has. I mean, we're fighters and we don't give up too easily either. You know, when we were told that she was going to die within the week, we weren't going to accept that. We said, no, you're wrong. And they were wrong. So she's picked that up from us now. And when they say, no, you can't do it, she'll say, well, yes, I can. You know, so she's definitely got it from us, that determination and fight.
And you know she'll keep coming back and telling you she's going to do this and that and the other. And you'll probably prefer that she didn't, but she'll go ahead and do it anyway.
And she will do it anyway. So there's no point in even saying no. I think I need reverse psychology and say, yeah, go ahead. I think it's a great idea. Maybe then she might change her mind.
Well, thanks, Pat. Thanks for talking to me.
Now, there you go, Pat Fogarty. That's your ma, Emma, on the radio.
It is.
You must be very proud of her.
Absolutely. She's amazing. I mean, she's right. I get all my strength really from her and my dad and Catherine. And they're the ones who, as much as they say no, they do push me along in the end. And I do get my strength from her. Again, from the very first day I was born, you know, she knew how to push me. She knew how to show me what was determination, what was not to give up, how to keep going, how to keep fighting on forward.
Yeah. So by next Thursday, is it, you hope to have done the 36 kilometres?
Yeah.
And you also hope that you'll have raised €72,000 for Deborah Ireland. So it's Just Giving Emma's 36 Challenge. Isn't
that's
that it?
It?
Yeah, Just Giving Emma's 36 Challenge.
That's and it.
I'd be hopeful because there are a lot of generous people out there. They know how strong you are and they know how much Deborah need money to try and find a cure or some sort of
something,
at least treatment for what you have.
Exactly.
Yeah. Johnny, an amazing woman, amazing family.
Yeah, and it is, even just listening to, you know, Pat talking there, like it's an amazing story. It's so inspirational to hear her talk like that, like, and something that you could probably apply to, you know, any walk of life and be inspired by it. So it's incredible. She's a remarkable lady, and both of them are really. Like I said, I was a bit like Emma's mum. I said to her, would you not just let me and Colin, you know, and Ray Darcy and me, all of my hurt and all do, like, you know, 36 kilometres on a row or 36 kilometres on the bike a day or whatever. And she was adamant. And I know people might listen and go, oh, well, you know, it's not a lot, but you got to think of all the, when you know the disease, like I know it after being around for a few years, you know, people that have, like, to get into the wheelchair is, you know, bandage changes, hours of preparation, and then, you know, to get out, it's pain. And, you know, Lemon said every time she hits a bump on the road, it's pain and suffering. So I don't know why she's doing it, but, you know, she's going to raise some great funds for, you know, a fantastic charity, you know what I mean? And that's ultimately what we want to do is to, and it's, you know, the money's been put to great use as well, which is important.
Absolutely.
Johnny, you must get requests left, right and centre to support various charities, but you're stuck with Emma and Deborah Ireland for over 10 years now. Why do you think that's the case?
I think when you meet, I first got introduced by Jimmy, who was an ex-Mary's pupil, and he got me in, and I met Emma for the first time, and then I met Emma at another event, and, you know, I was obviously just starting out myself, so I wouldn't have, you know, had, I suppose, any profile to add to the charity at that stage, and then things started to grow, and I started to just enjoy helping and getting to know Emma, and then recently I've got to know Claudia, another sort of patient ambassador, and, you know, when you meet these people and you see, like Patrick said, the suffering that they go through, the constant pain that they're in, you know, it's something that you just want to help out with, really, and like you said, it's the charity I work, you know, most closely with, and I'll try and do whatever I can for them for as long as I'm still a rugby player or beyond, hopefully, to be honest.
And through all, like, and Pat's description and where she said pain and pain and more pain, but every time I speak to Emma, and I'm sure you're the same, you get this positive person with this hugely sunny outlook on life, don't you?
Yeah, 100%. And it puts you to shame at times, right? Like, I'd be, you know, I talk to her sometimes and I'd be giving out about, you know, this, that and the other with rugby or having a bad game or an injury, and then she tells you something about her and I'm going, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. And she's so positive and I'm giving out things. So yeah, the mindset is just remarkable.
Isn't it?
And continue to bounce back. It's something that, you know, I've drawn, you know, a bit of inspiration from or tried to draw from, and you know, when someone says you can't do something, you just, you know, get the head down, work hard and try and do it. So she's remarkable.
She is. The mental strength is unbelievable. Just while we have you, very shortly, just very quickly, about the rugby, when do you think you'll be back with a Leinster shirt on and an Ireland shirt on?
Well, we're back training next week in small groups. Obviously very strict kind of you know, measurements you know, in place, that we can't do certain things and all these things that we have to do to get into the building. And so it'll be tedious enough, but it's, you know, better than nothing. And we're back in small groups next week, and then 29th of June, I think the groups get a bit bigger, and then hopefully by August or the middle of August, end of August, we'll be back playing. Just some fixtures sort of penciled in at this stage, and you know, hopefully if that 2 metre restriction gets lifted to 1 metre, we can, you know, maybe start to see some supporters in stadiums, which would be, you know, amazing for everyone involved with the game.
Do you think you'll have to go through the same process that they did in the Bundesliga and the Premiership, where everybody will have to be tested and then there's a period of quarantine before the match will happen?
I would say so, yeah. Like, but it's, they're the sacrifices like we're willing to make to get back on the pitch. You know, it's not the end of the world. No. Most of us, after the day before a game, will be at home, you know, feet up, trying to recover and get ready for the game anyway. So it's not that big a deal. So we'll do whatever we can to get back on the pitch and get things. You know, I think a lot of people they're desperate to see us. I think the players are pretty desperate to get out and play it. So we're looking forward to it.
And I just heard last night, I was listening to something, that there's been a lot of injuries in the Bundesliga because players have been away from top level sport for so long that the bodies just aren't match fit.
That's a challenge of, you know, every season, is to make sure you do the proper work and, you know, through the off season to put yourself in the right condition. So that's not something I have to worry about in terms of the S&C staff in Leinster and all that. They're fantastic and they make sure that we're doing all the right things, and hopefully when we come back, you know, it'll be different. We haven't had a period of, by the time we play games, it'll be 5 or 6 months in between. So you know, everyone will be, I suppose, fully fit, but won't be used to playing, you know, games and contact and all that. So hopefully we'll be ready to go with the time. It's still a bit away, yes.
Okay. Pauline has been on from Leash. As I was driving from Abbey Leaks to Port Leash, as I listened to Emma's story, I've obviously known about Emma before and was most struck some years ago when she spoke at Port Leash Parish Church. Oh. I'm parked outside that very same church now. When this is over, I'm going to go into the church and light a candle for Emma and her family. Best wishes, Pauline.
Well, thank you, Pauline.
I don't want to be pushy, Pauline, but if you can afford it, you might go on to the Just Giving page.
JustGiving.com. Yeah. Yes. It's Emma's 36 challenge, yeah. Pauline.
Candles are great, but cash is better. Listen, great to hear you laughing, Emma. And Johnny Sexton, good luck when you return. And thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. Emma, is there anything you want to say to Johnny before we go?
Thanks, Johnny. You've always been a great support to me personally and to Deborah Ireland. And personally, I feel we're very lucky to have you as our patron.
There you go. Okay.
Thanks, Emma. I'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you both. Okay, good luck. See you. Bye, bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or ray@rte.ie. Now, The Stand with Eamon Dunphy recently topped 1 million downloads, which is a huge achievement. So we thought we'd put a call in to Eamon and say congratulations. Congratulations, Eamon.
Thanks very much, Ray. 1 million a month.
1 million a month, right.
Yeah, that's in the month of April. Wow. Which is very good.
Yeah. That's colossal. Did you crack open a bottle of champagne or?
Yeah.
Yes.
I did. I turned the house into Lily's for the night. And I put a little photograph of you sitting there drinking a bottle of Coke.
And Rod Stewart blasting out of the PA system.
Yeah.
I can see you now dancing around the place, right? Good to talk to you. Are you in good form?
I am, yeah, thank God. I'm able to work. I have to be cocooned until this virus passes or there's a vaccine or something. But I'm very lucky compared to most people. You know, it's an awful lot of people have lost their lives, an awful lot of sadness and tragedy, really.
Yeah.
So I've no complaints. Just try to keep working, which I can do, and I'm thankful for everything I've got.
Yeah, but you've been very strict with yourself because I know you've emphysema. So you're like going to be on lockdown, as you say, until a vaccine, and like that could be
years. There's no guarantee there'll ever be a vaccine.
Yeah.
They don't anticipate a vaccine. You hear stories all the time. There are so many scientists around the world now, probably hundreds, engaged in the search. But there's no vaccine for AIDS, which is a virus, HIV, and they've been looking for one since 1988.
Yeah.
And the common cold, which this coronavirus is a strain of or is similar to, there's no vaccine for that. You can get maybe a viral drug compound, maybe, which is what happened with HIV. But even if you got a vaccine, how long would it last? If you have the antibodies, how long does the immunity last? It's a very, very complicated situation. They've only known about this virus for 4 or 5 months. So, yeah.
It's so how
no quick cure.
We spoke to you at the beginning of lockdown and you were cocooning. They've lifted a certain number of restrictions so you can have people around to the house.
Yeah.
So have you had people around to the house?
No.
No.
No, my son came and Jane's daughter came and we sat in the garden.
Right. Okay.
But you can't really take any chances with it. I think the lockdown is probably being lifted too early and we may have more infections. At the moment, I think yesterday 3 people died and 8 new cases, and those are very good figures. But it's something that we could suppress and crush completely, like New Zealand did. But we're not on that path yet, and we're opening up, I think, pubs and restaurants. I can understand how people want to, because it's people's livelihoods. You know, there's 200,000 people working in the restaurant business. So it's a balance between health and the economy, and it's a difficult balance.
It is a very difficult balance, isn't it? And and then you have people's mental health as well, Eamon.
Yep.
Not just their physical
health.
Yeah,
and also other diseases which have been neglected.
Yes,
cancers, screening for cancers, people maybe with the symptoms of a stroke but haven't gone to the A&E as they might do or to their doctor. So there are all kinds of consequences to this thing. And we're nowhere near the end yet. Next winter, for example, there's a very good chance that this will come back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
So I think you just have to count your blessings. If you're able to work and if you're alive and you're all belonging to you are, then thank your God every day.
Yeah. And you say you're lucky. And I suppose I see you're on your 781st podcast. Is that, am I right there? The figures are right?
We've done a lot. We started in 2016.
Yeah. So and podcasting is tailor-made for lockdown, isn't it, really?
It is, yeah. It is. And, it's something new. There are lots of podcasts out there. And I think there'll probably be lots more.
Yeah. There are millions. I read a statistic recently, millions.
Yeah.
And a tiny percentage of them get more than, you know, a couple of thousand downloads. So
we have a sponsor, which is, you know, it's not easy to get a sponsor for a podcast. I'm very lucky.
I was listening on the way back up from Abbey Leaks last night, the old band back together, John Giles, Liam Brady,
Dunphy. John and Liam, No, they're great. I mean, we do current affairs, obviously, and other things.
Yes,
but soccer with John and Liam, you know, is a real pleasure.
Is it my imagination, or are you all getting more cantankerous?
I don't think so. We're very good friends. We have been for a very, very long time.
I know, but you're cantankerous as friends.
We'd have a go at each other.
John Giles would never let you say, and of course, John, you'd agree with that. He'd never let you say that because he'd always come in and go, I don't know, Eamon. I don't know.
He's getting a bit cranky, actually.
Yes, he is.
But no, we're grand. We're good friends, and good friends can have a disagreement. It's only a football match at the end of the day. And it's nice to be in touch with the lads all the time. And it's nice that football's back as well.
And a lovely thing about the podcast is you're doing what you did on The Last Word on Today FM, is you've surrounded yourself with people that know you, you know them, the listeners know them, and there's a relationship, a sort of a 3-4-way relationship going there that everybody's comfortable.
You have to be working with good people, you know that yourself, Ray.
Yeah.
And, I'm in that respect, I'm very lucky. We can do it from the house, which was the idea of building a studio in the house was an inspired idea. That was Jane's idea. And, you know, We're
self-contained,
fortunate.
Self-contained. What about the latest thing? I know you spoke to Niall Stanage, who's a regular contributor.
Yeah, I just spoke to him a couple of hours ago.
So the room where it happened is John Bolton's book, and he's a former national security advisor, and the Trump people are trying to stop it. And one of the things he either says in the book or said in one of the interviews he's done recently was that, I shouldn't laugh, but Donald Trump is stunningly uninformed. Stunningly uninformed.
Yeah, he didn't know that Finland was a separate country from Russia. He didn't know that Britain had a nuclear weapon or nuclear power. He didn't really know anything. I mean, what Bolton is saying is that he's an idiot. But we've known he's an idiot. But he is in the most powerful political job in the world. And this new book, demonstrates that he's not fit for the office. And he's very dangerous in the office. The question
Do you watch Fox News, Eamon?
No, we can't get it here.
Oh, right.
Someone told me you can get it on YouTube, or if you play some trick, you can access it. But I can't. You used to be able to get it until 3 or 4 years ago, but you can't get it now.
Yeah.
But they're on his side. They're very powerful. And he has a support base of about 40%. In America, that's rock solid. No matter what he does, they'll stick by him. I mean, for example, he's having a rally, his first election rally on Saturday, in an indoor arena for 19,000 people. I mean, it's madness.
Yeah.
It's a super spreader for sure. Thousands of people could die as a result of it. And he's the president, and he doesn't wear a mask.
No, and he suggested injecting disinfectant.
He did. It's a really... On one level,
I heard Samantha Power on talking to Mary Wilson yesterday evening.
Yeah.
And she was on talking about Ireland getting the seat as a non-permanent member of the UN. But at the end, Mary asked her about Donald Trump. And the conversation became very serious. And you could hear in Samantha Power's voice that, you know, she was saying something to the effect that they're working 24/7 to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't get back into power.
They are, but the opposition, you know, it's a very serious problem. On one level, it's funny, but another level, he is the
very
most
serious,
powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
And America is the most powerful nation in the so-called free world. So he pulled troops out of Germany this week, or threatened to pull 9,500 troops out of Germany. Now, if he demolishes NATO, and this is a step along that road, it leaves the way open for Russia or anybody. Europe has no defense. I mean, Europe depends on America, not just for trade, but for to help with the defense.
And in talking to people like Niall and people in the know in America, what are people saying? Will he be elected again?
Well, Joe Biden looks very frail, Ray, and he's the candidate for the Democrats. Yes. So Joe Biden would need to pick a strong running mate, and he'd also need not to make the kind of gaffes that he's renowned for.
Okay.
So,
well, none of them can be as bad as Trump's gaffes.
No,
there you
I
go.
Mean, I think most Americans just want to get rid of this guy now. There's too much hurt, there's too much pain. I think Americans are tired of the constant drama around him, and I think this virus, this pandemic, has exposed how dangerous his idiocy is and the racial tensions that have arisen. So if he got in again, it would be a tragedy for the world.
Right.
So we can only hope, Ray.
The Stand with Eamon Dunphy.
Thank you very much, Ray. You were the first person to give us a dig out. It's very much appreciated.
That 5% cut, Eamon. Remember
well,
we discussed
don't
that?
Don't worry. Next time I see you in Lily's, Ray.
Which will be never. Good luck, Eamon Dunphy.
Thank you very much. Bye, Ray.
Yourself, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gurma, good morning. Thank you very much. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Betty has been on. Big fan of Eamon. Tell him I love his podcast, The Stand. I listen religiously to it. Ask him if he's writing a follow-up to his great autobiography. I should have asked him that. It was supposed to be last year, wasn't it? Because he only wrote half of it. Patrick's been on. He says, I'm reading Eamon's wonderful book, Only a Game. That was his first book about playing football over in England. And then he had the second book, which was half his life. And then there's another sort of instalment coming of Eamon Dunphy's life eventually. And I agree with Eamon. Joe Biden is very poor and no competition against Trump. Democrats should have selected a much stronger candidate. Unfortunately, it looks like Trump will be re-elected, which would be a disaster for the world, says Mary in Kildare. Doom and gloom from Eamon. He is not very optimistic. He usually is, but I suppose he's saying it as he sees it, isn't it? He's saying it as he sees it. On the longest day of the year, my mother always said 21st of June was the longest day of the year, as she was in labour 37 years ago that day with me. I made to live with that fact my whole life, as if I could do anything about it now. I was born just after midnight on the 22nd. She always phones me at the exact time, since I've had two children myself now, so I take more heed of her grievances, says Eileen. Hi to Eileen from Eve. So Eileen is the mum and Eve is the daughter. I met my hubby on June 21st and got married the same day 1 year later. No messing there. It was a sizzler that day, and every day since, on June 21st, I want to wish him, John Scally, a happy 6th anniversary. He may not hear you. He's working in the bog and I'm cooking in the kitchen. That's Annette. Anyway, John and Annette, happy anniversary. Have a great weekend. And today is the first Friday in an age we feel hope in our house. My husband was let go just before COVID. He has done 33 job interviews. He got offered 5 jobs just for them to be put on hold. But finally, he has got a job this week. Yoo-hoo! We're so happy. To everyone out there, there is always hope. That's the message from Mary. Now, hope and the All-Ireland quiz. Yay! Yeah, yesterday we kicked off the second round of the All-Ireland quiz. Today it's tie 2 and Fermanagh take on Kildare in the All-Ireland quiz. Representing Fermanagh, flying the flag, stepping up to the plate, and any other cliche you can think of is Aisling McHugh. How are you doing, Aisling?
Good, good. How are you?
Good to talk to you again.
Good.
Yeah. So you're living in Navan, born in Fermanagh. Yeah. Married to Eftan.
Ethan.
Ethan, sorry.
It has
there you go. And you're working as a solicitor, but not at the moment.
Yeah.
Aha. Right. Now, just to say to you, Gemma O'Rourke has been on to us.
Oh, my God.
Yes, right. Yeah. She says, our friend Aisling McHugh is representing Fermanagh today in the All-Ireland Quiz. That's you, and you are. Could you wish her all the best from all the Gracies, please? We've had the occasional Zoom quiz, and Aisling has hosted a round or two, but she's had to be corrected on some of her answers. Bodes well for her performance today. So there you go.
Yeah.
So were people on to you after your first round victory?
Yeah, there were people that heard it on the road, in the car.
Yeah.
And my auntie Kathleen, who lives in Dublin, called me straight away. So there's, yeah.
Right.
All my family in Fermanagh as well.
So more people listening in today.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you're on the lookout for jobs, I believe.
Yeah. Actually, just trying to fix up my CV today. And there's not much out there, but I'm just trying to be more selective and...
What does the CV look like now? You know, is it all digital?
What does the CV look like?
Yeah, you know, because like back in the day it was A4 and you laid it out in a certain way.
Yeah, it's the same.
Still the same.
2-pager.
Yeah, that's it. less is more, is that it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay. Right, you're up against Mary Carter representing County Kildare. How are you doing, Mary?
How are you, Ray?
Good. Say hello to Aisling.
Hiya, Aisling.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi, grand love. Listen, Ray, before we start, I just want to say, I was saying to Emily there, what a lovely show it's been this afternoon. Lovely light and shade, and you had me crying and laughing. And then you brought us down to earth with Eamon, which was great.
Yeah, he has a knack of doing that, doesn't he?
He's good crack, though.
Getting notions above your station, he'll bring you back to earth.
He'd put you right in your spot.
He would indeed, yes. So you're living in Kailin, County Kildare.
I am.
And originally from Bagot Street in Dublin. I'm just telling people to remind them.
Yes,
you're married to Alan, who's English, as opposed to Alan English.
Yes.
And you're 2 kids. And your daughter is a nurse where?
She's in Charing Cross Hospital in London.
Right.
And she's been over there now for about going on 4 years, I would say. And working hard. I told you before she got the virus about 6 weeks ago, but she's back on track and doing her shifts and putting in the hours. So,
right.
You know, she definitely feels a lot different the other side of it. She said it's definitely a journey.
Yes, because Claire Byrne did that the other night because she had the virus as well. And there are sort of long-lasting sort of spillover effects, aren't there, from it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I hear it in her voice, and I see it when we're talking. You know, it's took a chunk out of her, but yeah. Like she's a good kid. She'll just keep rallying on, and when you go in to do the job, you forget about all that and you just do what you know yourself.
And a sort of a close return to normality with Sean, the son?
Oh, absolutely. He's working away. I have him now. He's sorting out my bedroom at the moment. He's doing a lot of woodwork in there because he's qualified now, so he has to do it. He can't make excuses.
And is he back soccer training?
He is. He went a couple of nights, Tuesdays and last night they were out training, him and his other friend Sean, and they came back sort of feeling the worst for wear. Let's just say there's parts of their bodies hurting that they never knew before.
It's been 3 months since those parts have been used. Yeah. Okay.
Two old men, they were like coming in.
Now, we asked both of you to give us a song that motivates you. So, Aisling, you choose this one. Mary, for no extra points, can you name the TV show that's from?
No. I couldn't. I'm too old.
That was Vonda Shepherd from Ally McBeal.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
Searching
My Soul.
Watch Ally.
Yeah, there you go. That was Aisling's motivational song. And your motivational song?
There's a lot, Ray, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it does. You're a messer. It'll definitely make you smile, if nothing else. Okay, you know how it works. We need the answers as quick as possible and no Googling. Sure. Here we go. Good luck to Aisling, representing Fermanagh, and Mary, representing Kildare. Aisling, first question for you. The first Dáil of the Irish Republic met in what year? 1918 or 1919?
1919.
Is correct. 21st of January that year. Well done. Mary. Your question is about another Mary. Mary Robinson became the first female president of Ireland in what year? 1990 or 1991?
Oh, God. I'll go 91.
It was 1990.
I was going to say
90.
Not to worry.
Yeah, no worries. Early days. Right. Aisling, it's an audio question, your second question. We want to know the name of this movie, please.
For 3 years now, I've been living with a saxophone player. I forgive you. I can never have children.
We can adopt some.
But you don't understand, Osgood. I'm a man.
Well, nobody's perfect.
So, any idea?
No.
No. Some people say it's the funniest film ever made. Some Like It Hot from 1959. Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon there. Okay. For you, Mary, which movie is this?
You are a very difficult woman.
Perhaps so, Your Majesty.
But you'll observe care that head shall never be higher than mine. When I shall sit, you shall sit. When I shall kneel, you shall kneel. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well.
Oh, God, it's The King and I.
It is, from 1956. Yeah. What was his name? Yul Brynner.
Yul Brynner and Deborah Kerr, I think, played.
Well done, well done. No extra points for that. So after two questions, you're even on one each. For Aisling, question number three. Ulaanbaatar is the capital city of which of these countries? Mongolia, Myanmar or Malaysia? Ulaanbaatar.
Mongolia.
Is the correct answer.
Oh, good girl.
Yeah. Mary, Baku.
Yeah.
Is the capital.
Baku.
Yeah, is the capital of which of these countries? Afghanistan, Armenia or Azerbaijan? Baku.
Azerbaijan.
Is the correct answer. Okay, two all. Question number four for you, Aisling, is an audio question. Can you name this singer, please? Life is a roller coaster, just gotta ride it. I need you, so stop hiding. Who that?
Ronan from Boyzone.
Yeah. We'll take that. I'll take that. Ronan from Boyzone is enough for me. Yeah, is that okay with you, Mary? Do you want a surname? Do you want a surname?
Ronan Keaton.
There you go. Yeah, it was there. Okay. Right. Well done. Now, Mary, who is this? Well, who's that?
me.
Yeah, it is. Well, oops, I did it again. That's 20 years old, lads.
Oh, my God.
20 year, both of those songs are 20 years old. Okay, you're on three all. So now it gets interesting. And this is where strategy comes into it, as you know well. So, Aisling, I'm going to offer you a one-pointer or a three-pointer. Obviously, the three-point question is more difficult. If you go for the one-pointer, get it right, you put a certain amount of pressure on Mary to go for the three-pointer, which you may get wrong, and you will win. If you go for the three-pointer and get it right, well, then huge pressure on Mary. The choice is yours, Aisling McHugh, representing Fermanagh. What will it be?
I think I'll go for the one-pointer.
All right, right. Playing it safe. Here it is for 1 point. On the periodic table, the symbol for silver is Ag. True or false?
True.
Right, no hesitation there, and it is true. It's short for argentums, the Latin word for silver. Right, so you're on four. Mary Carter, you're on three. You can go for a one-pointer. And if you get it right, we go to a tie-break situation. Or you can go for a three-pointer. More difficult?
I go for the one and hope for the best.
Okay, righty.
I'm a coward.
Okay, we're bringing it to the tiebreaker. If you get this right, good luck for 1 point. Oxygen is the first element on the periodic table. True or false?
Need an
answer?
Yes, it isn't.
What? I need true or false. You need to say a word to me.
False.
Is the correct answer. It's hydrogen. Okay. So it's for all, Aisling and Mary.
God. Jesus, Aisling. Keep going. Get there.
Yeah, it's
I
tense.
Need to lie down in the dark room. Yeah.
Well, it's Friday. It's Friday. The whole weekend to recover. Okay, here is the deal. The tiebreak question is a question that you couldn't possibly know the answer to. So we're looking for the nearest answer to the correct answer.
Okay.
I will ask it. Aisling, I need you to give me your guess immediately. And Mary, I need you to give you your answer as quickly after that as possible.
Okay.
Good luck to you both. This will decide whether Fermanagh or Kildare go through to the quarterfinals of the All-Ireland Quiz. According to the AA route planner, what's the distance between Carrigavine in County Kerry and Clifton in County Galway? And I want the answer in kilometres. So Carrigavine to Clifton in kilometres. Aisling.
250 kilometres.
300, what'd you say?
250 kilometres.
I didn't get the, is it two or three?
Two.
250 kilometres. That's 2, 1, 2. Okay, 250 kilometres. And Mary, your guess?
I'll go 251.
Ah, yeah. Sly are you. There is an advantage being second on these occasions.
Ooh.
So, if it is less than 250 kilometres, Aisling, you are the winner. If it's more than 250 kilometres, Mary, you're the winner.
Okay.
The answer is, the distance from Carrigavine to Clifton is 338 kilometres.
Oh, God.
There you go. So both of you are way out, but you were just 1 kilometre closer, Mary.
I wasn't going to take a chance on going more. Sorry, Aisling, I just thought I'd stick to you.
No, when I said 250, I thought I should have probably said more, but I keep getting mixed up between miles and kilometres.
I was going to go up in the trees, but then I thought if I just go one more,
see, up in Fermanagh,
there's lower above.
Up in Fermanagh, the signposts are still in miles, aren't they?
Yeah.
See, look, when they're slaggy about it, that's your excuse.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it was really good fun.
Really good fun. And you were great contestants, both of you. Commiserations to Aisling. Mary, we'll talk to you in a few weeks. Kildare and Mary Carter, through the quarterfinal. See you, Aisling. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Antrim v Limerick on Monday. In the third tie of the second round of the All-Ireland Quiz. That was good fun. And both... both Aisling and Mary decided to go for the one-pointer, got to the tiebreaker, and yeah, there's strategy there, and Mary worked it well in the end, and she won, and Kildare and her go through to the second round. Now, next Wednesday, we're very excited about this. We're going to be doing an All-Ireland Zoom call. We're going to have somebody from every one of the 32 counties on the show next Wednesday, and the idea is that the listeners take over the show to say thank you to the frontline workers. They can be very specific about it, or they can just be generally thanking everybody who got us through the lockdown. The reason we're doing this is that way back, about a month and a half ago, we decided to dedicate a show to thank yous. And we were inundated with emails and texts and phone calls from people all over the country, all wanting to say thank you. And we got to some of them on the day, but nowhere near enough. So we decided to revisit it, and we're going to do it next Wednesday. So we want a representative from every county. And I think we have our Cork person. And it is Teresa O'Brien. How are you doing, Teresa?
Great, Ray. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking our call today. And as you're listening, delighted. As you're listening to this, and if you think you want to be involved and help us out with this, you can email irelandsaysthankyou@rte.ie. It might be something you'll have a chat with your family and friends over the weekend about. Irelandsaysthankyou@rte.ie. Now, thanks for your email, Teresa. So your thank you is specific and general. So I suppose we'll start with the specific first. It's your daughter.
Yes, my daughter, Emily.
Tell us about her.
Well, Emily is 24 and she's a nursing student in Edinburgh, in Queen's University in Edinburgh, Queen Margaret's University in Edinburgh. And she came home on the 17th of March just for a few days break before her exams. And then all the COVID kicked
happened,
off
yeah.
And everything was turned upside down for everybody. So, like here, universities were closed and luckily she was able to do her exams online and that. And she decided after her exams that best to stay home and, you know, be safe, I suppose, really. So she said, what am I going to do with my summer? So she decided to put her name down on the HSE register and apply to some local nursing homes. So St. Luke's Nursing Home in Cork, which isn't too far from us, they were the first to get back to her. And she went down for an interview and she was taken on there straight away. So she's been down there since, more or less working maybe 3-4 days a week.
Yeah.
And
were you worried about her, Teresa, because all the stories coming out of...
Well, yes, I suppose initially we didn't hear too much about what was happening in the nursing homes when she first started. And then, we were hearing all the terrible stories around the country and in other countries. But thankfully and luckily where she was, they had no cases. Everyone was tested and there was no positive COVID results came back.
Oh,
so it was, you know, we were very relieved for that, for
okay.
her and for us, obviously.
And she's become a nurse for you as well.
She has.
You had a bit of an accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose a few weeks into her her stint in the nursing home, her sister was doing her final exams in college and online again in UCC, and the day she finished she was saying, oh well, that's it, I'm finished, but can't celebrate, you know, everything is closed. And so she said, can we just have a family, you know, party?
Yeah,
here. So
yeah,
we did, and we had a bit of takeaway food and a bit of fun and a few games.
Yeah.
And then they were playing their music and I like to do a bit of dancing.
Of course you
and
do, yeah.
Just entertain them all. So of course the more I was dancing, the more they were laughing. So I was dancing even more and jumping and everything. So anyway, unfortunately...
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. I just have an image of you pirouetting around the kitchen.
Yeah, I was kind of... I thought I was doing Strictly Jive, you
oh,
know.
Right.
I was
oh,
really,
yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
going for it.
Which is
and,
very difficult.
Jump,
yeah, yeah,
and... we heard, everyone heard the loud crack and I went down on the floor and unfortunately, yeah, I broke a bone in my foot.
Yeah, poor thing.
So I have been in, well, first of all, I was in a cast and then they put on a boot. And so I've been in that for the last
okay.
just
so
6 weeks.
So she was helping you out with that. And then your mum, is she living with you?
She is. Mum is, she'll be 90 now in October.
Right.
And she's, well, herself and my father, he's dead now, but they've been living with us for the last 18 years.
Right.
And so in the last couple of years, I'd been mum's carer because she had a fall down the complete length of the stairs at home 2 years ago.
Right.
So I'd become mum's carer and no, she's doing very well.
There's a hierarchy of care in your house at the moment.
So
Emily is caring for you and you're caring for your mum. But Emily also has become this sort of taxi driver, has she?
Absolutely. She's been great. I mean, on her days off, on her afternoons off, her mornings off, she's been taking mum and myself out because I always loved doing walking, like doing long walks every day. We have a little dog who would walk forever, and so Emily's been ferrying us here and there, and been going up to West Cork and East Cork when the, you know.
Where were you in West Cork?
Down to Roscarbery and Glendore. Lovely down there.
Union Hall.
Absolutely beautiful down there.
Yes, yeah.
And we've had picnics and down to Yall. My father was born in Yall, so we
see. When they announced that you can stay in your own county, I remember we got a text on the day. Going, it's okay if you're in Cork, but what about if you're in Louth?
And I know.
You won the lottery when it came to that.
We were very
lifting
lucky.
Of restrictions, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is because we're running out of time. So next Wednesday, this is the deal, Teresa.
Yes.
Right? Have you ever been on a Zoom call?
I haven't been on a Zoom call. No, I've been on house parties.
So you know the idea then, right?
Yes, I do. Yes,
and I'm sure Emily or Ellen will show you.
Absolutely.
You download the Zoom app onto your laptop or your phone or whatever, and it's foolproof. We will send you an invitation with a link on it. You literally click on that, and before you know it, you'll be looking at me, my ugly gob, and we'll be chatting, and that's it. And like, where would you say? Would you do it from the kitchen?
I could do it from the kitchen.
I like the idea of people being at the kitchen table, you know, with the built-in kitchen behind them, or the dresser or the decorated fridge or whatever. Just it's a nice sort of image for people. Would you have a Cork jersey? Would that be pushing it?
Would we find something in the house?
Yeah, the county colours anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
And basically, I'll be coming to you, and I'll just go, how are you? And representing Cork, we have Teresa O'Brien. How are you doing, Teresa? And then we say, oh, I'll say nice built-in kitchen there, snot green. Yeah, it was probably nice in the early 80s or something like that. But I did that. and then I'll say, well, you know, who do you want to thank? And you go, I want to thank my daughter. And on behalf of the people in Cork, I'd like to thank all frontline workers. And
that's
what we're going to do. And we're going to do that in 32 counties next week.
Great idea, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. And thanks. And you're the first one to be signed up. So
brilliant.
Thank you. Ireland says thank you at rte.ie. Have a think about that over the weekend, and please do email us, because we need a representative from every county. And Teresa O'Brien, I will be talking to you next Wednesday between 3 and 4:30.
Lovely, Ray.
Have a great weekend. Stay safe. See you. Bye.
You too. Bye. Bye. Now. Bye.
That's it from us. We're back on Monday at 3 o'clock. Mary Wilson is on the way. Have an enjoyable and safe weekend. And we'll talk to you, as I say, Monday, 3 o'clock.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.